Now at 7, what charges 6 NC Central students are now facing in connection to a shooting on campus earlier this month.
Warmer weather is on the way, where temperatures climb, and the one chance we have this week to see showers.
Then, new help for young people as they age out of the foster care system. See how a new project is creating a safe and stable place for them to live. Let's start with some updates from Shaw here at 7 o'clock. Classes we know are canceled after police say a man fired shots on Shaw University's campus in downtown Raleigh today. That man is in custody at this hour after a massive response. All of it was right near the International Studies Center. Students getting active shooter alerts on their phones, which is always terrifying. WRL's Julian Grace live for us on campus right now. Julian, we're still pressing police, looking for some more information about what was a scary situation. What are they telling us?
Well, Dan, that's right. We are still pressing to get additional details from the police department, but we don't have much more to go on. But what we can tell you at this point, it appears things are back to normal. Traffic is moving smoothly and students are walking around now that classes have been canceled. Let's go back to video, though, from earlier today. Very frightening moments, as you stated. A member of the community told WRAL News the man walked into Shaw's International Studies building after a report of shots being fired. Then around 1:30, the man was taken into custody on campus near the building at Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Now, according to Wake County ABC law enforcement, an officer was in the area on an unrelated alcohol call and heard the gunshots. The enforcement officer held the suspect until Raleigh police took him into custody. Now, one student read the message she received from Shaw's administration shortly after shots were fired.
Emergency, an armed person is at large on campus. If you're on campus, go to the nearest available room and lock the door. If you're not on campus, stay away. Follow instructions of the university.
Now, once again, classes were canceled for the rest of the day today. Now, coming up all new tonight at 10 and 11, we talked to students about the text messages they received from the university and hear what they think if the university did a good job informing them that there was a shooting on campus.
That's always such a big part of these types of situations. Julian, we'll check back with you a bit later.
Absolutely.
Live there at Shaw. Thanks, Julian. Let's talk about the 6 students at NC Central, the students they're facing charges now in connection with the shooting of another student on campus from earlier this month. Though none of them are charged with pulling the trigger, all the people you see here on the screen have been charged with conspiracy charges. WRL's Monica Casey explains what this all means.
This was the dorm where an NC Central student was shot earlier this month. Now, a handful of 18 and 19-year-olds who are students here have been charged.
The 911 call from the night of April 2nd shows a chaotic scene.
Oh, my God. Hey, 911, I need somebody to North Carolina Central. Right now, my friend got shot in the mouth. Right now.
That call came in at 10:11. The lockdown of campus lasted almost 2 hours.
I need ambulance off the street. North Carolina Central. Right now.
NC Central freshman student Jayla Jefferson says it was a difficult night.
I was just worried about for my friends who lived in the dorm. So I was like, are y'all okay? Like,
she believes NC Central police keep campus secure.
We definitely feel safe on campus. They definitely make sure, keeping us updated with anything that happens, anything that's going on. They will tell us, they will send us a phone call, a text message saying stay clear of this area.
6 students have now been charged. Eric Randall is charged with conspiracy to commit assault with a deadly weapon and armed robbery. 5 others, Shaziah Bell, Paris Amos, Kenyetta Carmichael, Eriko Hill and Jayana Mitchell are charged with felony conspiracy to commit armed robbery. The university says Hill was also a victim. He had minor injuries from the crime and has since been released from the hospital.
All of those students have already had their first appearances in Durham County Court. Many have court dates coming up next month. The university tells me more arrests could be coming. Monica Casey, WRAL News in Durham.
And the university tells WRAL those 6 students are all on interim suspension. Let's turn to Durham County now. Deputies there are not really saying much about a response today on Barbie Chapel Road. We saw this scene play out a little bit this evening. They cleared that large scene within the last 30 minutes, and WRAL's breaking news tracker was there on the ground to watch it play out. The sheriff's office
blocked off a stretch of Barbie Chapel Road while officers looked for evidence and took some pictures at the scene there. We are asking more information about what happened. We'll let you know what we find out, of course. Tonight, we're learning more about a middle schooler who was shot and killed in Raleigh. The 13-year-old has been identified now as Makia Daniel, an eighth grader at Ligon Middle School. Family says that she lived in southeast Raleigh. She was found dead early Monday at the Trails of North Hills Apartments on Lead Mine Road. Today, Ligon Middle School's principal released a statement reading, in part, "Our condolences and thoughts go out to her family and friends. Please keep them and all those that have been impacted by this loss in your hearts."
I'm Brian Schrader in the WRAL Live Center. School safety is the topic right now at Sophie's Bar and Grill in Cary. Michelle Morrow, the GOP candidate for state school superintendent, is hosting this event right now. Invitation only, and they're talking about school safety. They've invited teachers, school resource officers, and elected officials, as well as about 60 parents who are in attendance. Morrow says that she believes there are more police officers necessary to deal with violent student behavior. Her opponent, Democrat Mo Green, says some schools do need more police officers, but he also wants to see mental health professionals there. Aaron Thomas is monitoring this event, and tonight at 10 and 11, he'll tell you what happens.
School safety is top of the list for so many families, Brian. Thank you. So take a look. This is an encampment there here on the south side of Raleigh. It was shut down and cleared out today. The people living there are being told that they simply just have to find somewhere else to stay. This is right between U.S. 70 and 401. That's split there near Garner. People have been living there for the last 6 months, and police are telling us they have seen a noticeable uptick in crime in that area. That includes things like assaults, break-ins, and drug-related issues. Now, though, the people who are living there say they'll struggle to find somewhere else to go.
Oak City Cares, they're so full, God bless them, but they're really full. If you want to get into the shelter, you got to fight people Wednesday night and stand in line Thursday morning.
The homeless people are not criminals. They're just people who don't have homes. And everyone should have a safe and affordable place to live.
Once everyone has been cleared from that area, the DOT will clean up that park. We are tracking a cold front moving through, bringing some rain chances for your Wednesday. Meteorologist Kat Campbell in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with the best timing for these showers, Kat.
It's really dependent on where you live, town by town. So I'll walk you through that. But we went ahead and bumped up rain chances after analyzing some of the new model data in this afternoon. Tomorrow morning, we should be off to a pretty quiet, dry start. It's as we get toward 10, 11 a.m. that our northernmost counties could begin to see a few showers popping up. Lunchtime through about 3 o'clock is when we've got the best chance for rain here in the Triangle. So that could be when kids are heading home from school during the afternoon. And then it's later in the afternoon through about dinner time for areas south and east of the Triangle. It's not likely to be a whole lot of rain, but this is heading in ahead of a cold front. I'll have a closer look at what this cold front right here will leave behind for your weekend coming up.
All right. See you soon. Thank you, Kat. So this monitor behind me, the vacant lot that you see, your eyes tell you it's nothing more than that, but it is so much more. Just months ago, it was the home for the historic Frederick Douglass Elementary School, a school that was then demolished after 85 years to give it some new life through an updated building. The original school opened back in 1939. An all-black school served thousands of students in Wilson County. We spoke with someone who attended the school who calls this a bittersweet end to a building with a whole lot of history.
There was sadness. There was anger. All of those emotions until you stop and you realize that, like the phoenix, from the ashes can come new birth. And that seems to be what we are hopefully going to experience.
She sure has a way, doesn't she? Very passionate. The schedule for design completion, what they want to do next, and the construction, that's all currently in the works. Construction on a new school is expected to last 16 months once it does begin. Durham Public School students are getting out 2 hours earlier than normal on Friday for a wellness day. The National Alliance for Mental Illness says 67% of teens think schools should offer days off for mental health. It's also found that 64% feel the world is more stressful now than it was when their parents were teens. Durham schools began offering wellness days last year. District leaders hope the day will help the students to feel connected and a part of the larger school community. One of the world's largest retailers is celebrating opening a new warehouse that's bringing more than 1,000 jobs to our area in Johnston County. Amazon cut the ribbon on its Smithfield inbound cross dock facility, as they call it, this afternoon. It's the size of 11 football fields. The conveyor belts move quickly, don't they? Those boxes and bins all through the building and on their ways to our homes. Items arrive here from businesses that sell their products on Amazon. Then they're sorted and separated to be sent off to dozens of fulfillment centers.
It's one of the very first steps for our sellers' products to get to our customers. We're just one part of that supply chain. But with the addition here, what we're doing is we're getting closer to the customer with all the parts of our supply chain, which is going to increase the speed to every customer.
If you were seeing how fast the stuff was moving and you wonder how much work they actually do there, Amazon says 2.5 million items a day will be moving through here since during those peak times like the holidays and Prime Day and that sort of thing. The company is still hiring in Smithfield. The pay starts at $17 an hour. Still ahead, new help for young people as they age out of the foster care system. How a new project is creating a safe and stable place for them to live. Plus, electric car maker VinFast is opening another new car dealership in our state. The timeline for this latest expansion in the U.S. and our area. $1 million in federal funding will go to help more Wake County young people who age out of the foster care system. Studies show more than 25% of foster care youth experience homelessness within just 4 years of aging out of the system. WRL's Deborah Morgan shows us how this new model may help them adjust to adult living.
Mia Murphy remembers her mom's struggle to provide for her family. Then she passed away, leaving Murphy alone.
After her death, life became a whirlwind. My foster care experience was not the best, but it wasn't the worst.
After 2 years in the system, Murphy had aged out of foster care and had to move on.
Learning how to look for apartments, learning how to sign a lease, rental insurance, I didn't know nothing about any of that.
The Hope Center at Pullen now partners with the nonprofit CASA to provide affordable housing for former foster children.
Last year, I requested funding for 15 community projects that were developed by the people of Wake County for the people of Wake County.
When President Biden signed a spending package, it created $12 million in funding for Wake County, $1 million of it for safe, supportive, and affordable housing for youth aging out of foster care. The new funding will create a community in Raleigh called the Hope Village at Method. Everett McElveen, executive director of CASA, says the new project is a dream come true.
They're going to have a safe and stable place to transition to adulthood.
The future Hope Village at Method will provide easy access to jobs, services, and transit. Murphy, who was once a client of Hope Center, now serves on its advisory board, and she's living her dream.
The most important thing that the Hope Center gave me was a family.
Deborah Morgan, WREL News.
And the groundbreaking for the Hope Village at Method is scheduled to begin sometime this summer. Local businesses are coming together to talk about how to better help employees to manage their health. The American Heart Association hosted the Health Equity Leadership Summit in RTP today. Speakers there highlighted a range of inequities in healthcare, including what's keeping minorities, LGBTQ communities, and lower paid employees from getting care. According to recent data from Deloitte, health inequalities and inequities account for $320 billion in healthcare spending in the U.S. every year.
Employers, they have the right mindset of, we want to do something. They may not know where to start. So put them in the room with the American Heart Association, talk about the tools and resources that we already have. We have great resources out there, but we want to make sure that they know that they're there and how to use them.
One solution included making sure the benefits were explained to employees in languages that were most easy for them to understand. Vietnamese electric car maker VinFast is bringing another new dealership to North Carolina. And today the company announced that they signed an agreement with 12 U.S. dealers. The newest VinFast dealership will be in Greensboro, just months now after the first one opened in Cary. The other locations are spread out across the country and are expected to start opening before the end of the month. VinFast's electric cars will soon be manufactured at a plant in Chatham County. WREL was at the Durham Bulls first education day of the season today. The celebration welcomed teachers and students to the ballpark for an 11 a.m. game. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner was there with the storm tracker, taking some students, talking to them about weather and explaining what we do here. There were other educational and interactive stations at the game today. There is one more education day this season. It's going to be on May 7th. So you were asked to pick your favorite tree in Wake Forest, and you voted, and there's a winner. This is it behind me. It's a Japanese weeping cherry tree. It's been crowned the 2024 Tree of the Year. It's situated right along West Sycamore Avenue and is thought to be nearly 100 years old. More than 450 people cast their votes. My favorite one is the kid standing in front of the tree that's right in front of their house. I'm sure that that kid loves that tree. It should have placed somewhere on the list, you know? The runner-up was the Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary Magnolia Tree. That's quite the name. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now with we got a beautiful look outside, Fenton and Cary, but we do have a little bit of rain headed our way, Kat.
We've got some light rain on the horizon for tomorrow, Dan. The good news is, here just outside the DBAT, I think that they're going to be in good shape for the game tomorrow. The rain should be out of here by the time the game starts. You can see bright blue skies. It's been a beautiful day. They played earlier, as you saw with meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner out there for the education days. But tomorrow they'll start at 6:35. And by that time in the triangle, we should be drying out, though there may still be some rain around in our southern counties. 71 degrees. First pitch forecast looks great. Right about 70 degrees for the first pitch Thursday and Friday as well. If you ask me, perfect baseball weather. We've got dry weather for the Bulls forecast the next few days. Here comes our cold front that we are watching. This is what's going to bring a chance for rain. Not a whole lot of moisture to work with out ahead of this front, and that's why it's not likely to add up to much rain in your rain gauge. So I would keep watering your garden, your grass this week. I think you're going to need that. Looking at tomorrow morning, the best chance for rain would be west of here. It's as we get toward 11 a.m. noon that we've got a better chance for rain in our northern counties. Lunchtime through about 3 o'clock here in the triangle. And then it's an evening rain that we could see pass through our southern counties. That clears out of here tomorrow night and will dry out for the remainder of the week and the remainder of the 7-day forecast. So an early look at your weekend. It does look dry, but we've got some changes coming. Saturday, we start to warm back up, 76. You'll really notice it Sunday at 81. The difference here is that we've mostly cloudy skies. We're going to see more moisture moving in from the Atlantic. That amounts to more clouds. So it's a perfect day to head to the Dueling Dinosaurs exhibit. Saturday is opening day to everybody, and that is at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. If you missed my story yesterday on why this is such a spectacular event, you can go to WRAL.com and watch it there, but it is really, really cool stuff. Two dinosaurs buried together, and you can watch the science happen live in front of you right here in the triangle. It'll be 72 at 2 o'clock by the time you're maybe leaving, heading to dinner, still in the 70s on Saturday. Tomorrow is our one chance for rain this week. 79 in Fayetteville, mid-70s here in the triangle. And hour by hour, if we take a closer look at rain chances, we start to see rain chances climb midday through the afternoon hours. After that, a dry 7-day forecast. We do get down to 47 behind the cold front, so we're cooling off a little bit behind this front. High temperatures not too impacted. But here come the 80s, 81 on Sunday, and then a big warm-up on the way next week. 86 Monday, 89 degrees by the time we get to next Tuesday.
Wow.
May is just around the corner after all, and seeing some days in the 90s is pretty normal in May, Dan.
You're right. The time is flying by. Kat, thank you. To say that the Canes caused some chaos last night would be an understatement. The fans are showing their support in a big way following, man, that was an incredible comeback last night. Big win against the Islanders. Taking a live look in Wilmington, where some plans for a Michael Jordan museum have recently been shelved. It was a standalone project, a museum from Project Grace Redevelopment right downtown. They released a statement. The project leaders say that after a lengthy and productive conversation, the family has actually decided not to move forward with the museum. The county says it does look forward with a continued partnership with the Jordan family to display memorabilia from Jordan's life and career.
In the corner to Jarvis. One-timer, score! Backdoor tip-in, we're tied! Loose, score!
From tied. Well, you look, from down three to up to tied, then up one. It was a moment Canes fans will never forget. There's no doubt about that. Two goals in 9 seconds brought the team from the brink of defeat to a victory. The Canes now up 2-0 in the first round of the playoffs against the New York Islanders. What a game last night. The Canes, again, were down 3-0 despite outshooting New York. All of a sudden, it came together in the third period, including that stretch where the Canes scored those two goals in less than 10 seconds. That 9-second window took them from being down one to having the lead and taking the win. In the past, though, think about it. The Canes' offense has often been criticized for disappearing in the playoffs. So what we saw late in the game last night was what the team has been working to fix, and that's goal scoring.
It's all about getting wins at this time of year, so it really doesn't matter how we do it. But, you know, if we want to be the team we want to be and move on, your top guys have to be producing. So I think it's good for them, just for confidence too, just to feel, you know, like their game's going good.
That's actually Coach Brind'Amour being excited. It's hard to tell, but he is excited there. The Canes will now travel to New York with a 2-game lead. They'll take on the Islanders in game 3. That's Thursday night at 7:30. And after last night's huge comeback victory, fans wasted no time to remind people where we live. Canes Country, of course, a brand new mural is up on the side of Teats on Glenwood Avenue. Photos were posted online just moments before the Canes had that big comeback win. You can show your support by taking a picture down there. Photos with that mural, then tag Downtown Raleigh and the team on social media. Wish them a little luck as we continue to move forward in the playoffs. Hey, thanks so much for being with us here tonight and making WRAL your choice for local news. We get some gorgeous sunsets this time of year here at the 7 o'clock hour. Our next newscast is at 10 o'clock on Fox 50 and at 11 on WRAL. Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.